We're here in CQUT with Nakusit. She's an executive director of the Native Women's Shelter in Montreal, as well as the co-chair of the Montreal Urban Aboriginal Community Strategy Network. Yes, thank you. Could you please briefly describe the goals of your organization and the main services that you offer?
At the Native Women's Shelter, we're basically a shelter to help Aboriginal women and their children. So women come from all over Canada. They come from communities, and also those that end up in the city can also call us. We have a 1-800 number so people can reach us. So as a shelter, we have the basics. We have private rooms for each woman that comes in. We have a clothing depot. We have staff that work there to give resources and referrals. We have a wonderful cook. We have a child care room, but we have a lot of additional programming because we need more than that. So we have a family care worker, we have an addictions worker, we have a holistic health worker, we have a contribution agreement with Health Canada so that each of our clients can have crisis counseling, and we have a Mohawk psychotherapist that comes in 4 days a week. We have an outreach worker. So when the clients leave the shelter, they still have services to help them with that next step of staying in their apartment and being autonomous and successful.
Thank you for underlying all your services. It's very interesting and very important, of course. So from May 31st till June 3rd, Truth and Reconciliation Commission had its closing events after the extensive work they did on residential schools in Ottawa. So the aim of the events is to bring closer the Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal population. And with a number of enlightening events that TRC organized to raise awareness about those tragic events, do you think it can be said that reconciliation has happened, or there is the struggle doesn't cease to exist?
For who? For the general population or for the Aboriginal population?
Well, for the Aboriginal population.
No, I think that it's only just beginning. And I think that, you know, we used to have monies from the Aboriginal Healing Foundation so that we could have support services. And most of those have been, most of that funding has been cut. So if you look at residential schools, they started in 1787. That's almost 250 years that we had residential schools. That's a lot of trauma. So I don't think by having the TRCs that everything is resolved and reconciled. I think that it's starting, but there's so much more work that needs to be done.
And on June 2nd, TRC also released their report on Indian residential schools and call for action. Mm-hmm. So do you find the report to be particularly an influential step on the government and general population? And what do you think are the most important points of the whole, you know, call for action and the report in general?
I mean, there's 94 of them, so there's a lot. A lot of them have to do with on reserve, and some of them have to do with off reserve. The first one is about youth protection, and that is huge. That's a huge thing. After the residential schools closed down, they had something called the 60 Scoop. So that's when the government implemented the social workers to go into each community and take children and put them into non-Aboriginal homes. Mm-hmm. So that happened from the 60s until basically it still continues. Mm-hmm. So right now the Native Women's Shelter is incredibly lucky to have a collaboration agreement with BATSHA because there's so many children in care. And we want to make sure that these children in care are getting all the services, support services, cultural services that they need in order to successfully go through this traumatic period of their life and come out in a good way. Because I've been working at the Native Women's Shelter for 15 years now, and I've seen the women that were in foster care now have children in foster care. So it's continuing the cycle, and I want to try to reverse it. So if we can implement that these children in care have everything around them that's going to help them feel like they have a good self-esteem, that they know where they are culturally, that could help that their next generation is not going to go into care So that's a lot. That's like the first recommendation of the TRCs. It's about the overrepresentation of Aboriginal kids in care, and it's so many levels. First, you have to educate the social workers. You have to explain to them all about residential schools. The thing about the TRCs is I don't know who went to the TRCs. They came to Montreal. I went. I brought my children. But I don't know how many non-Aboriginal people went. Mm-hmm. And in order to educate people, it really has to be in the books. When you go to take history classes, you need to see these. You need to learn about residential schools at a young age. We live in Quebec. There's 11 nations. Do you know the 11 nations of Quebec?
No.
No. But you should, because this is the land that you're on. But a lot of people don't know. There's so much education that needs to be known. So with the first recommendation, at least, you know, through the Native Women's Shelter, we are trying to do something. We're doing all different types of, I don't know what you want to call them, if they're like, they're not solutions, but they're attempts. So what the Native Women's Shelter did with the network was we created a cultural manual. So if you're a non-Aboriginal person and one of these children goes into your foster home, here's a book. This is everything you need to know. Not everything, but a lot of really important things you need to know about this child, her culture, resources, role models, so that you can empower that child and embrace the culture as well as all the activities that are happening that they can embrace their culture in Montreal. The Native Women's Shelter gets together with BATSHA 3 times a year, and we try to recruit Aboriginal people to take the children in care. I don't actually have statistics on how many children are in care, because BATSHA is divided up in a way that there's X amount of number in each department, and they haven't yet compiled all their statistics, but this is something that is going to be happening in the near future. So I don't know how many kids, but there's a lot of children. So if we know that, and what we do is we go to powwows with BATSHA and we recruit Aboriginal people and say, do you know someone? Can you take a child? Do you know someone who wants to take a child? There's a lot of kids that need to go into culturally appropriate foster homes. Mm-hmm. BATSHA is also working with the network to create a foster home that is run by Aboriginal people. So it's almost like a job. You know, if you pass the criteria and you're Aboriginal, you could have a foster home for maybe six children. Mm-hmm. Sometimes at the Native Women's Shelter, we have a family, a mother with 6 children, and if her kids get apprehended, they go to 6 separate foster homes. Let's at least keep them in the same home and at least have someone there that will embrace their culture and help them through this really, really traumatic time to make it as easy as possible. And that's what's so nice about the shelter, is that we have a family care worker. We have a collaboration agreement with BATSHA that says if you're going to take one of our children, first, send the mother and the child to the Native Women's Shelter. Let our addictions worker work with her. Let our family care worker work with her. Let our elder and our psychotherapist and our art therapist and all the people that we have at the shelter help them. And we will follow your measures. And if everything works out, the mother and child can stay together. They'll go through the outreach program. They'll have an apartment and, you know, succeed at being a mother. So this is something that we've signed an agreement with BATSHA. We signed it last year. We just re-signed it for another 3 years because of Bill 10. There's a little bit of complications because now BATSHA is being absorbed by the CIUSS. But anyways, I'll be re-signing something probably in the fall, but hopefully it will continue, that they'll come to us first, because we know what the problems are and we know what the solutions are. So let us help our people in the best way possible and do it in a way that really supports and embraces them. You know, residential school, 250 years, that's 250 years of being abused and not being around your family. So we have to almost reteach parents how to be parents, mm-hmm. and how to find all the services there. I mean, the Native Women's Shelter even has a sweat lodge with the botanical gardens. We can provide that because that culture was taken away from us. Those ceremonies were taken away. Now we're providing them. Should the client choose to use them, it's there for them. If they don't want to, that's fine also, but it's accessible. Did I answer your question?
Yes, of course. Even better than my question. It's wonderful that you provide education from such different angles, you know, and to diverse populations, not only to non-Aboriginal population of Canada, but as you said, to help the Aboriginal population how to be a family again and how to teach each other and take care of children. And my next question is actually a little bit different. So I was browsing the website of Native Women's Shelter, and you point out that you combine different teachings and different ways of various cultures of First Nations and Inuit and Métis to ensure that women can address their issues as they wish through different healings and different traditions. Would you say there is increased understanding of this need of traditional healing teachings and science, or the issue is still treated really skeptically in terms of, you know, how to...
in the Aboriginal community, it's well known the kind of techniques we use. We're not inventing anything. We're just using what's already there. But in mainstream society, it's not seen
as...
That's
what I meant.
But, you know, I know that, like, in Toronto, they have something called the Anishinaabe Health Center and the Wabano Center. So that's organizations that use both the best worlds, and it is accepted there. Here in Montreal, through the network, the health committee is trying to create something like that, and they've already done a needs assessment. The community wants something like this. So basically, it's like a hospital where if you broke your arm, you can go into it. You know, somewhat everyone there would be First Nations or Inuit or Métis. And after you had your arm treated by a doctor, then you can go through the back and see an elder. Mm-hmm. There would be both. It would be, you know, all encompassing.
Thank you very much. Well, I would just ask you to maybe provide some contact information of the Native Women's Shelter, or maybe you have some social media account where our listeners can follow your activity and reach you.
You can go to our website. It's www.nwsm.info. Mm-hmm. This Saturday on the 13th at the Mountain, we're having a spirit walk. It's a fundraiser to raise money so that the women at the shelter can go to a different location and have a healing lodge. Mm-hmm. So it would be a place that's, because the shelter is in the city, it would be a healing retreat for the women and their children to be out of Montreal, to spend a nice weekend where there's going to be sweat lodge ceremonies, workshops, wonderful food, being outdoors, just being in a really beautiful location. And if you go to our website, you can see more information about that. And if you want to pledge money, that would be fantastic.
Thank you very much for letting us know. Thank you.
No problem.